All right, so let's jump in. So I have been given the honor of closing out our Unshakable series. We're going to go through Daniel chapter 6, which is the last chapter that we're going to go through in Daniel. And as you may be aware, Daniel chapter 6 is the passage where it's talking about Daniel in the lion's den. And I know that many of you are familiar with that passage, but as I studied it this week, the thing that God illuminated for me was the concept of character, and how it is that we can have unshakable character in the lion's den. And if you notice, I spell lion a little different, because how it is that when you have people that come for you, people that are haters, people that conspire against you, people that lie on you, people that just kind of, for some reason, make your business their business. Like, how can you have unshakable character in situations like that? And so one of the first things that I did is I looked up the word character in the dictionary, and I think they'll put it on the screen. It just says that character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. And so, you know, when my children were younger, I would teach them about character, and I told them, character is who you are when nobody's looking. I share that with the students at the elementary school where I teach, too. Like, you know, when your authority figure is out of the room, your character shows up. Whether it's in your workplace, and when your boss is not there, your character shows up. Whether you're the slacker, whether you're the one who cheats a little, whether you're the one who decides to do something unethical, whatever, your character shows up. When you're in your marriage and your partner isn't there, your character shows up. And so what I then looked at it, I said, let me see what God's word says about character. So I'm going to read the same verse in two different translations. The first one is in the Amplified version, and you can read it with me. It's Proverbs 20, verses 6, and the first part of verse 7. It reads, many a man proclaims his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful and trustworthy man? The righteous man who walks in integrity and lives a life in accord with his godly beliefs. So a lot of us say we have good character, but what do our actions show? The NIV says it like this. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. A lot of us say, I love God, I do these things, but who of us shows ourselves faithful consistently when nobody's looking? So as we look through chapter 6 of Daniel, one of the things I want to remind you is that God's word, the reason why he gives us these examples, these parables, these stories, is because he wants to teach us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says his word is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training us in righteousness. So we're going to take a moment as we walk through these verses and examine our own character. And it's not to point a finger, because we're all looking at ourselves. That's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. Look at yourself and examine your own character. And if it's something that we need to fix, that's why God's given us this example. He wants to train us in righteousness. So this is going to be kind of like a Bible study. So I guess it is kind of appropriate that I'm sitting down, because we're going to go through a lot of the verses in Daniel chapter 6. So you're welcome to. We'll put them up on the screen for you, or if you have your Bibles or Bible app or at home, you know, read along with us, okay? And as we walk through, I'm going to ask you to determine, who are you in the story? Because this is going to be the story of Daniel, of Darius, and I was going to say his haters, but it didn't go with my alliteration. So and his detractors. Okay? So you get to decide whether or not you are Daniel, you have the character of Daniel, whether you have the character of the king, his name is King Darius, or whether you have the character of the haters. And again, like Pastor Jen said, we're going to keep it real because maybe we got a little hateration in us. We'll see. So let's go ahead and jump in. Now, when Pastor Jen preached last week, she left off in chapter 5, and she was talking about the foolishness of King Belshazzar. And she talked about how his foolishness caused him to ignore the trouble that was outside of his door, caused him to ignore history and legacy of everybody that had, you know, taught him and had the lessons before him, caused him even to mock God. And ultimately, his foolishness led to his death. And that was the end of chapter 5. And so we pick up in chapter 6 where Daniel's still around, but we pick up in chapter 6 where a new king has been appointed. And the king's name is Darius. And Darius, at this point, he is actually, now that he's the new king, he's doing what a new leader does. He's establishing his leadership team or his core, you know, his inner circle. And so he's going to appoint some positions and promote some people. And you know how that happens when some promotions come out, then things go wrong. Things go wrong. People's character shows up. So read with me verses 1-4. Here we go. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, and those are the governors and things, to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, pause right there, say at this. Here we go. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. I pause this at this because, as you can see, handing out promotions, Daniel's character, his work ethic, got noticed. And so King Darius is like, oh man, this guy is good. I'm going to appoint him over everybody. And his posse, his colleagues, saw that, and then they had a choice to make. I like to think of situations like that as crossroads in life, where the Bible in 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about temptation. You know, in every situation, in every temptation, God provides 2 things. He provides the ability to handle it, meaning so you can't say, oh man, that was too hard, I couldn't do it. No. He gives you the ability to handle it. And the second thing is he provides you a way of escape, a way out. So when they heard that, oh, Daniel is getting some favor, he might get promoted, they had a choice to make. They had a crossroad. At this, when they heard that, they could have said, you know what, oh man, I'm going to step up my game. He's getting noticed. What can I do to get noticed? Or maybe they could have made the choice of, I'm going to go to Daniel, and Daniel, can you mentor me? Listen, I noticed that you get, can I shadow you? But their character caused them to say, no, let's find something to pull this guy down. Instead of elevating themselves, let's find something to pull them down. But what you notice is they couldn't find anything. So he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor neglect. They couldn't say, he's coming in late, he's slacking off, look, king, nope, he's not what you thought he was. They couldn't find anything, and they were looking. So, you know what haters do, right? When they can't find anything, because your character is good, you're trustworthy, you're not negligent, then they decide to create something. So that's when the conspiracy began. So let's read verse 5 together. Here we go. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So what you notice is when they couldn't get him on his character, they came for his calling. You know, there's a little girl who's in the second grade, and whenever we would line up for lunch, because all of the second grade classes would line up together, and there's a hallway that went to the cafeteria. Every day, regardless of what was going on, she would drop to her knees and pray before she went into the cafeteria. Right there in the hallway, she would just lean up against a pillar, drop to her knees, and pray. Now, all these kids lining up around her were fighting and pushing in line and pushing and shoving and making noise. She did not care. Every day, she dropped to her knees and prayed. And so those students, all of the second grade, all the teachers, all the adults who walked in that hall knew the character of that child. That something in her, something was instilled in her, some conviction, some commitment. Nobody was looking. Her parents weren't there. They wouldn't have known if she did it or not. But it was something about whatever she was called to do that it was something she was willing to do every single day without fail. And I think these guys, these haters, they noticed that about Daniel. Okay, so we can't get him on his work ethic, but we do know that he prays. And so the story goes on to say that they went to the king and say, "Hey, King Darius, listen up." I'm paraphrasing. "Listen up. We have this idea. We think you should sign into law a decree that says anybody who prays to anybody except you, King Darius, for the next 30 days gets thrown into the lion's den." Now, King Darius is like, "Okay, whatever, that's fine." And he signs the law into, he signs a decree into law. I will tell you that one thing I came to admire about Daniel while I was reading the account of his life, I admired his silent faith. He wasn't boisterous and making a bunch of noise about it. I admired his prayer posture. He had a commitment like that student. "And I don't care what's going on. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I'm committed to." I admired his servanthood, that regardless of what king he served up under, he was committed that "I'm going to serve. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to give them everything God has given me." And I came to admire his clear boundaries, because we'll come to find out that when David found out about this law, he still maintained some boundaries. "This is what I will do, and this is what I will not do." So let's see what David's response was. Read with me verse 10. It says, "Now when David learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before." I'm going to do what I purpose to do, knowing that this could cost me my life, knowing that these jokers set me up, knowing that they came for me. I was just living my life. I was just doing me. And they set a trap. He still kept his commitment to who he was and to his character. But I will tell you, again, that crossroad, if we're going to keep it real, if you were Daniel, because I thought about if I were Daniel, in that moment when I found out they put this whole thing in play, one of the options I considered was getting angry, some righteous indignation. And consider the option of revenge. That's a real option. They're coming for me. I could tell what things you all have been doing. I could go there. Another option could have been, I could just wait 31 days and pray. I could say, God, you know my heart. The law is just for the next 30 days. I'll get back to you on 31. Right? Right? I've been doing it all my life. I can do it on day 31. But no. It says David went right upstairs to his room where he'd always done and got down on his knees and prayed just as he'd always done. And so here comes the posse. Let's read verse 11 to 12. Here comes the group. Here we go. Then these men went as a group. Say as a group.
As a group.
Don't you hate that? You know, the people of not good character, they don't seem to stand alone, do they? They don't. Okay. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel. So they were looking for him. Found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So basically he said, yep, that's what I said, and it stands. But what the king didn't know is that they were going to tell him it was Daniel, the one that he knew was of good character, the one that was his best employee, the one that he was planning to promote, the one that he knew there was nothing foul in this person. And so when the king finds out that it's Daniel, he has a crossroad. He has a decision to make. He could either stay with the group mentality. You know how the bullies do. You know, they just, man, oh, well, forget it. I said it. I put it in the law. I hear my earring on the mic. I'll take it off. I'll just stay. Oh, well, I signed it. It's Daniel. Oh, well, he just gets swept up in it. He could have stayed with the bullies. Or he could have decided, like in many of the movies that we see, the high school stories with the bully, there's usually one person that has an epiphany and decides, I made this choice originally, but now I see who I'm hurting. I put this law into place, but I didn't realize the impact that it was going to have. And so they come out from among the group and decide, I'm going to stand alone. And I'm going to go help that person who needs my help. And that's why I fell in love with King Darius. Because that's what he did. Let's read verse 13 and 14. Then they said to the king, Daniel is the one of the exiles from Judah. He pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. Look at them trying to stir it up. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. When he realized, oh my goodness, this is Daniel, I've got to save him. I know I put this in the law, but I've got to save him. And so that's one thing I fell in love with Darius about. I admire that he's an example of one who gets carried away with ego and power and praise like we all do. If somebody strokes us and tells us how great we are, then we have a tendency to make some bad decisions. Let's be honest. And that happens to most of us. But Darius unlike most, he pauses to reconsider. And when he does, it gives way to his conversion. And so he decides, I've got to fix this. But the haters, the detractors, they say, oh no, we're going to hold you to your word, King. And so they press him on it. And basically, they tell him, no, we're not letting this go. You said you put this law into place, and you said it cannot be overturned. And so you have to throw him in the lion's den. Again, paraphrasing. And so with a heavy heart, he had to do it. He had to do it. But I just love the way that his character showed up, even in doing this hard thing. Because the Bible says that as he threw him into the lion's den, that King Darius prayed for him. Read that part with me. It's the last part of verse 16. It said, as he threw him into the lion's den, the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. That blessed me. I don't know why I'm so emotional today, but that blessed me. Because he gave him his hope. He didn't even believe in his God. But he said, may your God, who I've seen you serve continuously, may he rescue you. And so, you know, then the night comes, right? And what I imagine the detractors were doing that night while Daniel is shut up in the lions, and I imagine they're having a good old time. They're rejoicing. Yeah, we got him. He ain't going to be over us no more. They're having a good old time. We did that. They're probably patting themselves on their backs. Yep. And Darius, King Darius, if he had another character, he could have just washed his hands. He could have said, you know what, well, I made a mistake. Oh, well, the man's going to die. I'm going with my life. Or he could have done what King Belshazzar did, and he just said, you know what, I blew it. I feel bad about it. Let me just have a drunken orgy. Just put it out of my mind. Let me just, come on, let's party. Let's go. You know, he has some choices to make. But let's look at what my man did. Love him. I love him. Let's read verses 18 and 19 together. It said, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. So that man didn't eat, he didn't drink, he didn't sleep. All he could do was think about Daniel in the lion's den. And as soon as light, as soon as he got the opportunity, he went and, it didn't say he ran to him, but I imagine he ran to him and said hurried. But he ran to him. And this, guys, is my favorite part. My favorite part. I call it the faith field call. Because anybody who's been in a den of lions, and we all probably have, we can think of some situations where you should have died. Where the situation should have killed you. But it didn't. It didn't. Spending a whole night in the situation, it should have killed. I have my own, one of many that I'll share. And that is, when I was married before, My ex-husband has schizophrenia. And so, there were many nights of suicide attempts and many nights when he threatened the lives of our children. Nights when ultimately we were locked out of our home with the children, me and the children, just he wouldn't let us back in. Anyway, and during this season of my life, I would go to the altar and I would just be praying. Okay, I'm gonna get through this, guys. I would just be praying. I would be praying to God for help and deliverance and everything you can imagine, right? And I'm still going to work and still trying to hold it together because nobody knew, you know, what I was going through at home. And once I actually confided in a friend, a King Darius, who came running after me and asked, are you okay? Are you, you know? And I shared, and, you know, they were surprised that you don't look like what you've been through. Like, I should have died in that situation. I shouldn't have made it out. You all know I have a happily ever after, right? Over there. Right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. But yeah, I'm sure that I'm not the only one who has a situation, a lion's den where you should have died. But here comes King Darius, and he's running, and he's asking the question. Verses 20 and 21, read, when he came near the den, he didn't wait till he got all the way there, y'all. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, stop right there. Stop right there. Daniel answered. Now I imagine as I played this in my mind, a movie in my mind, that King Darius is running with hope. I don't know about this guy, but I got to see, because this wasn't right, but I hope he delivered him, and he started yelling. And Daniel answered. To hear that man's voice, I can't imagine how King Darius's heart must have leapt. And so let's go ahead and read the rest of what Daniel said. Verse 21. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me. Because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. So I'm going to invite us to do a little call and response. I'm going to be King Darius calling out. And I'm going to call some names. Can you put up the call and response on this slide? And when I call out I'm going to put your name in the blank. And when I put your name in the blank, your response is going to be, show up the response for me. Is the next one, they have not hurt me? Do you have it? Well, that's all you're going to say. You're going to say, they have not hurt me. You ready? Here we go. Asanji, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?
They have not hurt me.
Woo! April, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?
They have not hurt me.
David! Oh, David! Servant of the living God! Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Woo! Charles! Charles! Servant of the living God! Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?
They have not.
Bridge Church, servants of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Yeah. Woo! To your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. Okay. Genesis 15:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Psalm 91:7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Isaiah 5:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And I'd like us to read this final proclamation together. Put it up on the screen. Psalm 27, 3 through 6. It says, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praise to the Lord. That doesn't seem like it was the whole thing. Let me get it up. Hold on. Let me get it up. Psalm 27, starting at verse 3. Through verse 6 says, though an army may encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 So as I close, I want to remind you how the story ends, because one of the things I love about Daniel is he didn't go with the get back. He decided, the way I'm going to fight against my haters, the things that people are doing, I don't know why they bother me. I'm just minding my business. But I'm not worried about getting them back or them getting theirs. Because I know the vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. The way I'm going to fight is I'm going to keep doing me. I'm going to fight by worshiping. I'm going to fight by keep raising my hands. I'm going to fight by keep praying. I'm going to fight by keep honoring the character that I know God wants me to have. That's the way I'm going to fight. And so as the story ends, the last few verses talk about how King Darius went and got those jokers and their family, threw them all in lines there. And then he made a new law. And his new law said from now on, everybody must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. That's when I'm signing into law. Because he's the real deal. The way he said it specifically, you can read it with me, verse 27. It said, he's the God who rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Yeah, that's the God we miss here. Yes. Amen. And so as I close, I want to circle back around to the question that I asked in the beginning. Who are you in the story? Is your character Daniel, where, yep, I have boundaries. I'm going to do exactly what I feel God has called me to do, regardless of what's going on around me. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm not going to get them back. I'm going to fight my battles in worship and in prayer. Or are you Darius, where you say, you know, sometimes I do get caught up. I get in with the group every now and then, and I lose it a little bit, but, you know, sometimes then I fix it. I fix it, and I come back, and I fight for the underdog. I see with new eyes. I get there. It takes me a minute, but I get there. Or, if we keep it real, can you honestly say to yourself, you know, if I had to tell the truth, I'd say that when somebody gets promoted or something good happens with somebody else, something does rise up inside me. I can't help it. It's just my human nature. I feel some kind of way. It just makes me, it bothers me. Either way, I'm going to ask that David will come up and pray for the Daniels in the room. That you remain true, that you never want to retaliate. Pray for the Dariuses in the room. That we kind of catch ourselves quicker and come on back. And then pray for the detractors. Say, God, I know this is who I am, the way I, my human nature, but I know that you can put a new nature in me. I know that you had this word for me so that I can fix this. I can get it right.